Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call our BCPO meeting to order on December 15th. Our first item of business is approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Doug. I so move.
I second.
It's been, moved and seconded. And Josh, it sounds like you have some feedback on the minutes.
Just one quick point. On page 3, the second paragraph from the bottom, I just want to clarify, there's a sentence that says that I recall touching base with Ryan Nielsen-Stoon almost a year ago about the issue. It was folks, one or more people in my office had touched base with him. So that just a minor clarification on that point.
Okay.
You could say DOJ touched base or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with that modification, that's all I had.
Okay. Any other friendly amendments to the minutes? See none. All those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to approval of the loans, we have 3 loans today that are around $460,000. Rich, do you want to walk us through what we're looking at?
Sure. Thanks, Sarah. You know, the only loan of note this week is a $300,000 loan to the city of Middleton. They intend to use the funds for a loan program to help local businesses affected by the pandemic. I thought that was a creative and excellent use of the loan program.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So they need money to finance a program to borrow money?
I think that they are funding a loan program for local businesses, Doug. So I don't know exactly if the structure is going to be a revolving loan program, but very possibly, yeah.
So they're going to loan our money to somebody else. That's interesting.
Yep.
I wonder if they're going to charge more than 2.5 and make money on it.
You know, sometimes they do. They add a quarter point or half a point for administrative costs.
Oh,
I don't know if
okay.
Middleton intends to do that or not, but it's a common thing when we do a pass-through loan like that.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
But I think it's just another.
I'll move approval of these 3 loans. Doug.
Maybe, Doug, before we... Josh, I guess you had a question. I'm just trying to take things in order.
Sure. Yeah. And we can have this discussion before or after we vote on this, but I'm curious if this is something that we think other municipalities would be interested in and we want to potentially promote this because, you know, this could both be in the interest of BCPL by having more municipalities take advantage of our loans and but also in the interests of, you know, the communities and the businesses in those communities.
That's an excellent point. I was planning on reaching out to Gail Sumi and Jerry Deshane at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities because they put out newsletters or news updates in between their big publications. And something like this is, I think it's news for them and it's news for us. So I think it's one of those things that would be good to get out there. As Rich had pointed out, we've done loans in the past to municipalities that have passed them through to businesses. La Crosse had taken out a sizable loan about 10 years ago to do that. But I think this is the first one we've seen in the era of COVID that's targeted to helping businesses during the pandemic.
And Josh, this is Sarah. I guess one of the things that we worked really hard to do back in April and I think have continued to do consistently is whether it's reaching out to the league, the towns association, the counties association, doing roundtables to let them know about the state trust fund loan program. We actually did a handful back when COVID hit, and then we continue to provide updates. I met 2 months ago, I guess, with even the county treasurers, just continuing to kind of share how this program can be used. And I think one of the things that's going to be really helpful when we look at our January 5th year-end review meeting is how the state trust fund loan program has, I think, helped during COVID in ways, whether it is what Middleton is doing, or we know communities have refinanced, for example, which have helped their cash flow when revenues are down to help with essential services. And so I think it's going to be a really nice look back at 2020 and how the state trust fund loan program has really supported the state.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions about the three loans we're approving today? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Sorry, Sarah, did we move for a vote?
I thought we did. Maybe we didn't. Is there a motion to approve the loan?
I made such a motion quite a while ago, but I'll make it again if you like. I move to approve the three loans.
Is there a second? Great. It's
Sorry,
been moved
that.
And seconded. All those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
The loans are approved. Sometimes hard on these phone calls to make sure we're always following our parliamentary procedure. But moving on to old business, Tom had provided an update on the status of special counsel with regards to our investment. So, Tom, do you want to walk us through where that is today?
It hasn't changed from when I drafted this short update. I'd had a short conversation with DOA's general counsel, and it was a great conversation. He had a clear understanding of what our dilemma was and how it impacts us and how it impacts the beneficiaries. And she said she was going to be taking a closer look at it, and she was going to be talking to Ryan Nilsestoon about it as well. And she said she would get back to us when she could. So I had a great conversation with Charlie Gibson and Corey Finkelmeyer. And again, it was a good conversation. They understood, what our situation is, what our needs are, the pressingness of the matter. But at the same time, there are a lot of other issues on the plate right now. And again, they said they would get back to us when they could. So at this point,
Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, Doug, you can ask your question.
I have a question. When I was reading those over, I noticed that one of the three reasons why this was had some time sensitivity was the third one, where we get a discount if we do it within a certain time frame. Tom, correct?
Yes.
What I'm wondering is, it's from my perspective, this whole thing is going to take forever, the way it sounds, in terms of how everybody's going to get back to us. And we have the holidays, and we have the virus problem. Would it behoove us for you to go ahead and deal with that one yourself, which you know how to do? It's just a matter of not wanting to take too much of your time to do these things in general.
The short answer to your question, Doug, is I do take time to work on these, but it takes a lot of time, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot. Because of the fact that these subscription agreements are written in a way that is not designed for BCPL, and so virtually every single question in there takes a fair amount of thought. It's not like going through and just checking a box and moving on. And so the amount of time that it takes is significant.
Well, I understand that, and you explained that before. I'm just asking whether in this one case, if the discount is substantial, maybe, and we're not going to get help from anybody else quick enough, maybe you should do it. That's my only thinking.
I cannot do that without leaving too many other BCPL duties behind at the present time. The discount,
okay, but then, just for my information, how much is this account worth to us? Is it $100 or $100,000?
No, it's 0.15%. And so on a $30 million investment, well, or $20 million investment, it's $30,000 a year.
Well, that sounds like a lot of money.
Yep.
I guess,
okay,
I mean,
well,
Doug, I think what I was going to ask is when we last chatted too, Rich mentioned that there might be an extension and that he was potentially going to hear back from the, I can't remember exactly if it was BlackRock or Blackstone, Rich, but have you heard anything more about the timeline being extended?
I know that they did not take action at the most recent meeting of the index fund, which was the impetus for the change in the discount policy. I know that it isn't going to, there is no end of the year deadline any longer. The deadline is going to be extended at least until, you know, the first quarter and maybe longer. But that's all I know at this time.
So knowing that it looks like it's fair to say the subscription can be, we can buy into that by quarter one of 2021, we've got some additional time. Is that
I can't guarantee
statement?
That, but I think that is a fair statement, but they can change they can institute a new policy at any time.
Okay.
We just don't know when that's going to be.
Okay. And I guess, when we last connected as a board, we talked about really potentially three courses of action. There was Josh working with the Department of Justice and deciding whether or not we need to resubmit a request for special counsel from the governor's office or how to do that. There was another option to potentially seek legislative action, and we all kind of agreed that an easy way to do that would be through the budget. And then the third course of action we talked about was potentially seeing if DOA might be able to do this on their own. I guess just kind of looking at these opportunities, where are we? Are we still kind of focused on number one? And at what point do we start considering option like two or three? Or how exactly is that working as we're moving forward?
Hello, are we still there?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a question, Josh, for you or Tom, for you, but I'm just curious on how we're moving forward and thinking about these three courses of action.
At this At this point in time, in terms of option number one, in terms of obtaining special counsel, there is nothing more I can do at this point other than submit a request for special counsel. And because we still haven't been given feedback from the governor's office, I think it would be too early to do that at this point, because if we don't know why the last one was definitively turned down, I don't know what else I could provide on this one that would get us to a different determination. In terms of option number two, having DOA provide those services, I've had my conversation with the general counsel at DOA, and while it was a great conversation, she acknowledged that she did not have the staff to provide that assistance either. And so the only question that she had was, if it came to her, could it be possible that their relationship with their special counsel could be modified to include this? And she didn't know the answer to that. And so, again, the ball is in her court. In terms of of other options that we have at this point. We have used a modified form of special counsel by working with Portside on the due diligence end of it, by contracting with Portside, which is a financial advisor, and having Portside in turn subcontract with a law firm to provide a legal analysis for the legal due diligence piece of it. And there is still a glimmer of hope that it might be possible to have them assist on the subscription agreement end, but you are crossing from due diligence into a different world at that point. It's no longer just analyzing the legal aspects and financial aspects of the investment. It's now assisting with the actual investment itself. So, and that would be an option if the other ones fail, is about the best way to put it.
This is Doug. Josh, a question for you regarding that second or third option involving the Attorney General. Is there anything you can do to find out the answer kind of expeditiously?
So I think it sounds like the DOA contact has happened, and we're waiting to hear back further there. And my understanding is that Tom had a conversation with two attorneys at DOJ who intend to follow up with Ryan Neal-Sustoon on this issue and get more information. So I don't know exactly when that will take place, but there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to get this resolved, if not in the next few weeks, certainly in January, and get an answer so that we can figure out what the next step is.
Okay. This is Tom.
Yes.
Just because I can't resist, why has this come to a head now when I haven't heard anything about it for 40 years?
Well, for 35 of those years, we had no authority to invest in things like limited partnerships and things like that. So it wasn't until the expanded authority came our way at the end of 2015. And if you recall, at the end of 2016 is when we did our first investment policy. So the one other option, so we've talked about three options here. The fourth one is seeking a legislative solution.
Right, that's what I was going to ask, Tom, that I mentioned was that third option. Yeah.
Right. And so that legislative solution, again, is a dependent variable because of the fact that we need to know if special counsel just is not permissible under the current statute in terms of the governor's office interpretation. And so it would be better to get that answer sooner than later, because if that answer is no, this doesn't work for your particular situation, then we need to be asking the governor's office for, well, in lieu of special counsel under the current statute, can we have Can we get a change in the budget bill that would authorize us to use special counsel under limited situations?
Josh, that's what I was going to kind of follow up with, is knowing that there is a potential for us to take legislative action, are you able to kind of get some feedback? So if this is the course that we need to take, we can get it into the budget before the governor delivers his budget address in January.
We can certainly aim for that. This is what I said at the last meeting. It largely depends on the governor's office. It's easy for us to ask the question, but they'll have to review it and figure out, just what their position is on it. So that's where I think that there will be some time that needs to go into it.
And how does that work, Josh, from your office? Do you formally submit an inquiry to the governor's office, to Ryan, asking for clarification on why our request was rejected? Or do you guys check in more regularly and formally you can find this out sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I don't think there's any formal process, so I think it would just be a matter of, you know, connecting with them and asking if they can share the sort of reasoning behind it, and then getting, you know, getting a response from them, hopefully.
Okay. And I just want to make sure we have kind of a clear way ahead, because our next board meeting, if I'm not mistaken, is not until 2021. I believe it's January 5th. And so there are going to be 3 weeks where, if we need to kind of get this through the legislative process, that's 3 weeks lost that we could be trying to figure out how to make that happen. And so I'm just sensitive about that window.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is Doug. You're right about the timing. I mean, I was thinking as you were speaking that would there be any harm, Tom or someone, for us to go ahead and request that legislative change now, because it wouldn't hurt to have it, would it?
What I could do is I could reach out to Mike Gallagher at the Legislative Reference Bureau and ask him to actually draft the change, but it doesn't get introduced or added anywhere. It just, in essence, it stays in draft format until something is done with it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So,
sense is that the issue is not. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Because BCPL, I believe, has direct drafting authority with the Reference Bureau, I think I can make that request directly to the Legislative Reference Bureau.
What I was going to say, Tom, is tell me if you disagree with this, but my impression is that the issue is not so much crafting the language, which should be pretty simple, but rather, you know, if we're focused on trying to get it in the governor's budget, persuading the governor's office to include it. And so since that's the office that we're going to anyway on this other issue, it seems like, you know, raising this as an alternative in the context of asking about the possibility of special counsel makes sense. So, you know, maybe it makes sense if you have time, Tom, to follow up with Corey or Charlie in my office and mention that alternative option.
Yeah. When I had the previous conversation with them, that was one of the things that we talked about already. So they're already aware
okay.
that's a possibility. I concur with your agreement that the drafting on this should not be that difficult. The bigger issue is how it would be structured. And during the last meeting, I pointed out that there are two different ways to go about the legislation if it's deemed necessary. One of them would be a tweak of 1411, making it clear that the governor could appoint special counsel in our type of situation for a transaction as opposed to just an action or proceeding. And the other one is to actually set it up in Chapter 24 to give the AG the authority to do it, for the primary reason that we're not an executive agency. This is the type of thing that seemed like it would fall within the AG's authority. Because within Chapter 24, there are other AG responsibilities with respect to some of the assets of the trust fund.
What a mess.
Well, I like to think of it as an opportunity, but there are some definite decision points on that. On that path.
So just to kind of recap, Tom, it sounds like you're going to continue to work with Corey and Charlie to get information from the governor's office on the request. And then at the same time, pending, of course, what that feedback may be, seeking legislative language regarding if this is, you know, something for Chapter 14 or Chapter 24.
And the fact is, I think it makes sense for me to at least ask Mike at the Reference Bureau. I mean, right now, both the AG and I are assuming that this would be a relatively easy drafting issue, but I don't sit in Mike's chair, and so I don't know what it would all involve. And so perhaps it'd be fair for me to at least give him a heads up that this may be on the horizon there, so, and just get his input on it.
This is Doug.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
No, you can ask your question, Doug.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for the governor's office to answer. You talked to them some time ago, and I know they're busy doing something, but this seems high enough priority that the governor's office should sit down and give you an answer within hours. Is that because the right people haven't called and shaken their chains or what?
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that we're living in an era of a pandemic and a slew of election-related lawsuits. And frankly, I would assume that the governor's council was looking at a lot of other priorities on his desk. And even though this means a lot to us and it means a lot to our beneficiaries, perhaps in terms of their priority list, it hadn't risen up to the point of eclipsing some of those other issues. However, now that the Electoral College has voted, and hopefully the election lawsuits in Wisconsin will start to fade, hopefully there will be a little bit more time there for them to address issues like this. So,
well, I would think that you should call the person who will make that decision to start thinking about it. And if they're not responsive, I think it might be time for three elected commissioners to send an email or a note to the governor personally. I mean, that's what I believe in. I believe in trying to get stuff done. And this is drug on for too long.
Well, I'm certainly never going to stand in the way of the commissioners making their voice heard. So I serve at your pleasure, and I carry out your policies and requests. So
what I'm saying is, based on what Sarah said a minute ago, reminding us that we're not going to meet again for several weeks, I wonder if we, I mean, again, let's be realistic. And we're three Democrats, and we have a Democratic governor. That's the time when things should get done. We're not dealing with a roadblock with a Republican governor. So I would think that maybe, Tom, you should, in lieu of our meeting the next time, maybe we should today, if Josh and Sarah sort of agree with me, we can make a statement right now today that if you don't get a response within a couple of days that's adequate, we would send such a message to Tony. Now if Sarah and Josh both tell me no, I'll be quiet. But that's my current thinking at the moment.
Yeah, no, Doug, I appreciate you kind of thinking this through as far as how we can elevate it, because I will say Tom did reach out to Ryan and sent a note, and he still, as far as I know, Tom, you have not heard back from Ryan on an answer regarding your email.
No, I haven't.
Correct. So what I was going to kind of suggest before maybe we take that more formal approach, Doug, that you're suggesting, which I think is still an option on the table, is, Josh, I'm sure you, I know, Doug, potentially you as well, like meet with the governor's office on issues. Maybe when we next connect, Josh, I don't know when you're planning on connecting, and Doug, I don't know if you've connected with them, but if we can each kind of leverage our individual relationships to see if we can get an answer first, that might be the preferred method. And if that doesn't seem to work, looking at sending a formal letter.
I agree that we should reach out informally and see how things go. I am optimistic that we will get a response. When exactly, I'm not sure, but you know, over the course of the next several weeks. And as I understand it, I understand the point about the good timing of the governor's budget, but as I understand it, the rate that we're talking about is not expiring, certainly imminently. There's not a urgency as there would be if we had an end of the year deadline.
So how about this? Why don't each of us see where we can get, just through our conversations we're already having with the governor's office. Josh, I know that you're probably having multiple conversations. We're having conversations as we get closer to budget season, and I'm sure Doug, you are as well, and just kind of putting it on their radar screen and letting them know that when we come back on January 5th, we just have to start making a decision regarding how to expedite this or elevate it. But I do think it's worth trying to leverage our relationship to see if we can find an answer first before maybe submitting a formal letter. Any other suggestions on that?
Well, I mean, maybe less than a formal letter. Sarah, you have enough hoops to do things. I've got to know you. Maybe you should make a phone call to the governor's chief of staff. Maybe that would be a way to escalate it kind of in an easy way without making a big fuss. If you called and left a message with the chief of staff that you needed to talk to them as chair of this board, and they call you back and say, what's going on? And you could tell them what's going on.
So coincidentally, Doug, it's Maggie's birthday today. how about this? I will see where I can get with my contacts over the next few weeks and send an update on that. So.
Well, again, I'm sorry to be so argumentative, but you said a few weeks. I mean, if you call today, it's only Tuesday. You should talk to them by Wednesday. I mean, the chief of staff should be polite enough to call the treasurer back immediately.
Yeah. And I have a meeting with them on Thursday, Doug, so that's why I'm just saying I can add this to the agenda. It's pretty easy.
Okay. I didn't know about the Thursday meeting. Okay.
Yep.
That sounds good. I'll be quiet now. Thank you for indulging me, Josh, Sarah.
No, I think it's, this has been a really good conversation as we together brainstorm the best ways to move this forward, because it has been on our docket for quite some time. And I think coming to a resolution sooner rather than later, not only is good for the agency, but it's good for our beneficiaries. So, but I feel confident about next steps, I guess, looking to Josh and Tom. Are there any clarifications the two of you need, knowing that you're critical players and helping move this forward as well?
It's not that I need a clarification other than an answer as to why we didn't get it last time. I mean, if the fact is they're willing to give it to us this time, everything else doesn't matter. But if the answer is no again, I need to know why, because that will then inform our next steps. It will provide guidance to what DOA would be able to do with their use of special counsel. It would provide guidance on what we would need to do with with legislation, and it would provide guidance for on what we might be able to do with Portside. And so that's my summary.
Yeah, well, again, based on what Tom just said, I'll reiterate what I've been saying. This is not a very complicated thing. The governor's office ought to be able to quickly decide whether their previous decision stands, or they can now change their mind and go ahead and do it. And it shouldn't take them long to decide that.
Yeah.
If we get them to do it and not just keep on saying, we'll get back to you.
Yep. Understood, Tom. Josh, anything else from your end?
Nope. And again, Sarah, I mean, that would be the point on Thursday when you meet with the governor's staff. That's the point you should make them. And possibly Tom can help you put together a half a page memo that you can hand them that basically says what Tom just said.
Yeah, and luckily, Tom CC'd me on his email to the governor's chief counsel, so I feel good with talking points. But good suggestion.
Okay.
Good suggestion, Doug, and I think we'll move it forward. Okay, I think we've put this update on special counsel to bed. Any other comments, feedback? Okay. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is celebratory in nature. It's the resolution for John Schwartzman. Tom, do you just want to, I know you mentioned this at the last meeting, but do you want to maybe just kick it off?
Sure. The fact is, John Schwartzman has been a valued member of the BCPL team for decades. He's done a great job, and John is one of those people that's been a phenomenal public servant and dedicated to the mission of BCPL. He's one of those people who takes his job seriously, but not himself. And in the 15 years I've been here, the board has never really taken the opportunity to thank and honor a longtime member like this, and I thought it'd be a good idea for us to consider it in this situation. So I took the liberty of drafting a proposed resolution for the board, and obviously I defer to your choice of language and the way that you express your appreciation. But I thought it'd be nice for us to honor John in this way. So,
well, this is Doug. I talked to John a few minutes ago, and I told him that I forbid him to quit until I did, and he laughed. But because I'm a long-serving board member who has worked with John over many years, I would like to make a motion, and I move we adopt this resolution.
So moved, Doug. It's been moved and seconded. All those, great. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the resolution commending John Schwartzman for his service with BCPL, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye. Aye, Josh.
Well, and thanks, Tom, for putting this together, because I do think it's a really nice touch after 30 years of service to have a resolution commending his service from the commissioner. So we appreciate everything that he's doing. And Doug, I think to your point that John might be coming back to help later on. So I don't think he's going too far, which is good to hear.
Hi, Sarah, this is John. I'd just like to take just a quick second to express my appreciation to the board. I really appreciate your support very much. It really is great when we're all, you know, pulling in the same direction for our mission. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to work here all these years. And I also want to congratulate you on your baby boy. So Yeah, and I just want to, again, reiterate that, you know, it's been a great place to work.
Well, and I didn't know that you were on, John, so thanks for being on the call today, and we're sorry we can't celebrate you and your service in person, but maybe there will hopefully be opportunities in 2021. And on a side note, also thank you for educating me on silviculture practices. I was not as familiar, but after learning what that means and all the great work that BCPL is, it's pretty exciting about the sustainable forestry work that you've been leading up there ever since. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Man, John, I wish I could have sent you cake that you could have been eating while we're going through this meeting or something. So next
time. Yeah, next time. It's kind of an odd time to go, but I think it's the right time. So.
Right. Well, you're in a good place being in the woods during COVID. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We meet in the woods, and it's really just kind of business as usual much of the time.
Right. Well, thanks again, John. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, seeing that there's no new business, we're just moving on to reports. Rich, your Chief Investment Officer report?
Thanks, Sarah. I just wanted to talk about the Investment Committee meeting last week, which approved investing an additional $100 million of common school fund assets into public equity ETFs with a focus on high dividend index funds and value index funds that feature very low management fees. This investment will increase the total commitment to domestic and global public equities above the individual targets included in the investment policy, but the amounts will remain well within the target ranges approved by the board. Public equities, including preferred shares, now comprise about 22% of the common school fund assets, and that's a number that includes $41 million in unrealized gains. This new investment will increase that level to about 30%, while the target ranges provide for maximum investment of 40% of common school fund assets. We intend to make this investment methodically over the next few months, with staff looking for attractive entry points in a volatile market. The choice of funds was developed by the investment committee based on four factors. Recent studies have shown the divergence between growth and value stocks is at record levels. Two, investment strategies tend to revert to the mean, meaning that the relationship between growth stocks and value stocks will return to normal over time. Value stocks are currently priced at a discount, in other words. The mandate of BCPL is to produce distributable income for our beneficiaries, and value and high dividend stocks better meet that criteria than other sectors within the market. And our cash is producing near zero rates of return. Moving cash into these specific value sectors of the public equity market will help increase the annual common school fund distribution to beneficiaries. Does anybody have any questions? That's all I have.
Josh or Doug? Okay. Thanks, Rich. Tom, your executive secretary's report.
So I'm going to apologize in advance for not being as brief as the last couple meetings, but there's been a lot of notable activity in the last couple weeks. This past week, one of our municipal borrowers was hit with a spear phishing attack, one of those internet attacks that you sometimes hear about. Someone had hacked into their emails, read them, and then tried to masquerade as BCPL people by sending an email asking the community to make their trust fund loan payment to a fraudulent ACH account. Luckily, the clerk of the community called Denise, realized the problem, notified the community that the emailer was a fraud, and assured them that we had not changed our payment procedures. Denise then reached out to Mike Kruger in our office, who then pressed DOA, Division of Enterprise Technology, for assistance. And Mike was persistent on that. Ultimately, the issue got relayed to DOJ, who was able to shut down the email domain of the fraudsters to stop the attack on the community. We then sent short emails to our borrowers notifying them of the issue and providing them with the best practice advice from the Government Financial Officers Association. We got thank yous from a number of them.
We also kept DOA abreast of the issue and our agency's response. So hats off to Denise, to Mike, and to DOJ on this one. At the end of the day, I think it turned out well for everyone. You may recall that I reported that we had contracted to work with Stephanie Marquis on the Wisconsin impact report that the board requested. Stephanie's father passed away recently, and she may be delayed a bit on her project. On behalf of BCPL, I expressed condolences. I'm looking forward to working with her on the completion of the project after she attends to the needs of her family during this trying time. This month, we offered 6 timber sales to the highest bidder. All 6 of them sold. The aggregate amount of the bids was just under $450,000. Congrats to the Lake Tom staff for conducting a successful sale. This has been a challenging time for timberland owners, considering the closure of the Verso Mill and the lingering effects from the 2019 summer blowdown. That storm knocked down almost 2 years' worth of timber harvest in one day. So our staff has been very strategic in choosing sales that contain timber that's less affected by those issues. And while we're on the topic of timber sales, BCPL's in the final stage of testing DNR's WISFR's timber sale management software. At this point, things look good. The WISFR system is more automated than BCPL's current software, and it looks like WISFR's would bring more efficiency to the management of our timber sales. On another note, BCPL's Madison office is concluding 2020 on a good note, as we had 100% participation in the Partners in Giving campaign. In a year where many people are suffering, I'd like to congratulate our staff on their great response in giving back to the community during a very challenging time. And finally, I wanted to remind everyone that we are looking to start the new year off at the January board meeting with a recap of calendar year 2020. As a result, we expect the first board meeting in January to run a little bit longer than usual, and we respectfully request that you reserve enough time in your respective schedules to accommodate that. And that's the end of my report. Any questions?
Very good, Tom. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I just also want to the commissioners, just share how impressed I was with the way BCPL handled the whole spear phishing or cybersecurity attack, because as we all know, that stuff can quickly snowball into incidents beyond our worst nightmares. And so the fact that Denise identified it and Mike and company took action is a job well done. And not only that, but they went above and beyond to inform our partners that to be on the lookout. And as we know, during the holiday season, sometimes our guards just naturally, we kind of pull them down. And so I appreciate the comprehensive approach that they took in resolving this quickly. So thanks to the agency for doing that. And congratulations on your Partners of Giving. That's also exciting. Tom, I'd like to say that, you know, we also have 100% giving in the state treasurer's office with our key staff of one. So, you know, maybe we should go head to head next time. We can include Doug in that too. So any questions for Tom? My update is just going to be brief, just piggybacking off of what Tom said, that I think it's, despite it being a challenging year, 2020, I'm looking forward to the January 5th meeting where we really review not only where we are within our goals and priorities and how we need to update that as we look into 2020, but the performance and work of the investments and the state trust fund loan program, and also getting a report from Tom, knowing that he has been with us in his executive secretary capacity for a year. And so kind of talking about that role and how that's going in comparison with the overall position description that we all put forward. And so Tom, I guess what would be helpful, I think, is to make sure that this time is reserved on our calendars. When I looked, it just says that it's a normal meeting. And I think it would be helpful that we at the very least reserve an hour for that meeting, and also just including kind of the special agenda, knowing that it's not going to be our typical agenda as all of our other board meetings. So if the agency could take that action, so we have not only reserved that time, but also have that agenda up and running, that would be appreciated to be sent to commissioners prior.
Happy to do that.
Great. That's it from my report. Any future agenda items from either of the commissioners?
Not for me. Nope, I have none.
Well, thanks. I want to thank Doug and Josh also for a great 2020 year, despite everything going on. And this is our last meeting of 2020. So with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Also moved, Doug.
I'll second, and I want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Yeah, same for me. And stay safe out there. It's always tempting to get together with people, but let's be careful.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Josh. Well, it's been, our meeting's adjourned. Happy holidays, everybody, and thanks so much. Have a good rest of the year.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.